used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
I mean, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Show, Canada's only radio program and podcast on animal rights and compassionate living. This is Friday, September 27th, 2019, and you're listening to CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM, broadcasting live from Vancouver's East Side. For the next hour, I'm your host, Jen, and I'm joined in studio by my co-host, Allison Cole.
Hi there.
On today's show, we have quite a few interviews on a variety of topics. To begin, we will review the Game Changers movie, a hotly anticipated film within the animal rights community that features the benefits of a vegan lifestyle on world-famous athletes who are powered by plants. I gave away a free ticket to a non-vegan friend of mine, and he will be on our show today to talk about how the film impacted him. I saw the film twice within a week, and I don't see any movies twice, so that says a lot. I really loved it. Cool. Allison, did you see it?
Not yet. I only wanted to go if I could take a non-vegan, and that didn't happen. And the subsequent show times have been all at really strange and convenient times.
Yeah, they are at strange times. Yeah. I'm not too sure what the release strategy here was, but I will say good news. It's coming out October 1st on iTunes, and yeah, I'm hoping it also comes out on Netflix.
Yes, and I'm hoping we could do a screening of it here, because I had been in touch with the filmmakers before, and it was on hold until it made its cinema debut.
Right, so I think a lot of activists are wanting to be hosting public screenings, for sure, and especially me, I work with professional athletes in the healthcare setting, so I think this will be very powerful for that community. And so later on in the show, we will also speak with an activist from Toronto who is part of a grassroots campaign outside a Kensington Market restaurant called Bacon Nation. Activist Marnie Ugar was able to convince the restaurant owner to attend a local slaughterhouse vigil for pigs, where he fed them water and gave them comfort, petting them before their final frightening moments. We will do an interview also with the restaurant owner, Andrew Mata, on his thoughts around the experience. And I have to say, I can actually feel my heart bursting inside my body right now just thinking about this. I'm having a visceral response to the fact that this actually happened. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Marnie, and all the activists. You guys are so dedicated and are really making changes in ways that most people did not think possible.
Yeah.
We also have another pig story on our show today. We'll be interviewing a local activist, Sam, who helped to rescue a sweet young pig, cutest pig I've ever seen in my life, from almost certain death. She's now living in a sanctuary on the Sunshine Coast, thanks to Sam, who put her on the ferry in her SUV and took her there a couple of nights ago. And so stay tuned for those stories in the next hour. And now I just want to do a brief review on the Game Changers. There's so much I can say. We don't have enough time to go through it all. But for those who don't know, the film was created by Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jackie Chan, James Cameron, and follows James Wilkes as he travels the world on a quest for the truth about meat, protein, and strength. He is an MMA fighter, best known to many as the winner of The Ultimate Fighter. Trained in traditional striking martial arts, he also holds a black belt in Taekwondo and a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. The Game Changers showcases elite athletes, special ops soldiers, and visionary scientists to change the way people eat and live. And I have many favorite parts that I've been repeating to everyone that I've been telling about the film, but the best parts, I think, would be where the medical doctors perform tests on athletes. So in one test, I don't know if you've heard about this yet, Allison, but they took three athletes. Mm-hmm. They gave them meat-based burritos. And
yeah, I saw a little clip of that.
Yeah, so they were really smart in the way they did it, because we activists are always finding people are saying things like, oh, but the meat I eat is grass-fed or free-range. And so they strategically chose grass-fed and free-range meats because they're considered the healthiest. And so they were given burritos that had these meats on them and cheese as well, so very high in cholesterol and trans fats. And they fed them to these athletes. And then 2 hours later, they drew their blood They put the blood in a centrifuge, causing the red blood cells to fall to the bottom and then the plasma to come to the top. And they showed the test tubes to the athletes. And they saw that on the time that they ate the meat and cheese-based burritos, the plasma was thick and cloudy. You couldn't see through it. And then they did another experiment. They gave them all vegan burritos. So it was beans and it was guacamole. And guacamole has fat in it. So you would think this might affect that plasma. In the same way, the plasma was totally clear 2 hours after eating those burritos. And so this goes to show that with just one meal, we're making a difference in our blood. And people think, oh, well, it's just one meal, it's no big deal. What about a lifetime of this kind of animal food that we're putting into our bodies?
Right. Or if you think it's too late, well, it's never too late because you can start right away and start feeling. I see always online people are talking about that they see results within a few days.
And we do know that heart disease is reversible with a whole food plant-based diet, type 2 diabetes as well, not only reversible, but preventable in the first place. And so I just want to talk about one more study. We don't have much time here, but a urologist, this is really funny, gave three athletes a device to measure their erections while they slept on two different nights in which the athletes were again fed that meat burrito with the cheese and then the next night the vegan burritos. And the test results were vastly different, showing improved blood vessel function on the night of the plant-based meals with longer, harder, and thicker erections that lasted much longer in duration throughout the night.
So that's why everyone's posting that everyone will go vegan immediately after watching this.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
I get it. I get it now.
Vegans make better lovers in so many ways. They're more compassionate. They last longer in the sack. So that's my review. So there we go.
I can't wait to see this film, and I'm glad you got to see it twice. I just think that it's going to change the world, and it's because of a little idea that was sparked with James Cameron, because he's vegan now, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
him and his wife are ethical vegans, and they have taken their power of filmmaking to carry forward to the masses, which is his strength and what he can do. So yeah. I really applaud him for that. And James and his wife, Susie, are welcome to come on our show anytime. We would love to speak to you.
And, you know, I work for a filmmaker. I watch a lot of documentaries. I'm pretty critical of how many documentaries are put together. This one was almost absolutely flawless.
Yeah.
And I never see that in a documentary. I'm always thinking,
They left
a loophole for excuses, but they didn't leave loopholes in this. They even talked about the environmental impact of animal agriculture.
They've been working on this film for years, and they really made it ironclad,
Ironclad, yeah. Good word, absolutely. Yeah. And so let's move on. Today is a world climate strike, and last week I attended an event that was similar to this with my friend Michael Cawson, who will be on our show later today. Cities all over the world, people are taking part in the climate strike. And the one that I attended last week, I only attended because I wanted to open the hearts and minds of so-called environmentalists who maybe hadn't made the connection to animal agriculture yet. And it was exactly what I expected. The focus was mostly on criticizing the fossil fuel industry. And when I tried to bring up veganism, I was met with a lot of hostility and name-calling and resistance. They didn't want to take my leaflets that had the word vegan on them. Today I know that we have a lot of local activists who are out there promoting veganism on today's even bigger climate strike.
Right. So that happens today. It's starting at Vancouver City Hall at 1 p.m. And the goal is to all the climate activists. I'm so happy to say climate activists, like in Vancouver, because that makes me feel that they're on our side, because we're climate activists, but we focus on food choices because that's such a large part of what's destroying the planet.
Well, we're trying to bridge that divide. Yeah. So that's what this is about, is I'm just pointing out that the environmental activists who are opposed to hearing about how animal agriculture is contributing to this really need to be a bit more honest with themselves and put that desire for taste aside while they actually look at the facts.
I'm hoping we can communicate that with them and plead with them to watch something like Cowspiracy. But anyways, getting all these activists together, it's amazing because it's just, you know, our movement is the vegan movement, which is also a health and environmental movement, and we're now able to bridge that gap with all these climate activists who are coming. I don't know where they're coming from because I haven't seen them before, but a lot of people are skipping school today. So
and walking out on their jobs.
Yeah. So I saw a group of of children on my way here getting ready. Like, they're obviously going there. And at the University of British Columbia, they're doing a strike starting at 11. And then they're coming to downtown. So there's going to be a big march across Canby Street. And it's going to be ending at the CBC Studios, which is at Georgia and Hamilton, if you want to take part. And if you don't want to take part, then avoid that area for traffic. Because they will be taking over the bridge.
So I just want to say something. Well, I'm hoping that a few of the activists that I met last week are listening today. I just wanted to throw this out there because I did write down our radio link, Allison, and I think they will be tuning in. And okay. I love them so much. And they're three teenagers that I met at the steps of the art gallery, and they were really excited about the brochures that I was giving them on veganism. And I was writing on the cover of them all of the links to Cowspiracy on Netflix and people they can follow on Instagram and Facebook if they need recipes. And they were so excited, and they were excited to also check out the Game Changers film. One of them, both her parents are doctors, and so she was going to show them Forks Over Knives on Netflix, which is really great. And so hello ladies, I love you, get in touch. And I'm sure you're at a climate march today as well,
right. I'll give you a copy of the China study to give to your parents who are doctors. I always do that.
Actually, I just wanted to mention some facts about animal agriculture's impact on the earth. This is taken from cowspiracyfacts.com, and this is all scientifically backed up, so I'm just going to read some of them off. Animal agriculture is responsible for 18% of greenhouse gas emissions, more than the combined exhaust from all transportation. Methane has a global warming potential 86 times that of CO2 on a 20-year time frame. Livestock is responsible for 65% of all human-related emissions of nitrous oxide, a greenhouse gas with 296 times the global warming potential of carbon dioxide, and which stays in the atmosphere for 150 years. Cows produce 150 billion gallons of methane per day. Reducing methane emissions would create tangible benefits almost immediately. Growing feed crops for livestock consumes 56% of water in the U.S. A lot of these stats are U.S.-based, but you can imagine how it is elsewhere. 2,500 gallons of water are needed to produce 1 pound of beef. 477 gallons of water are required to produce 1 pound of eggs. Almost 900 gallons of water are needed for 1 pound of cheese. 1,000 gallons of water are required to produce a gallon of milk. Animal agriculture is responsible for 20 to 33% of all freshwater consumption in the world today. Livestock or livestock feed occupies a third of the Earth's ice-free land. Livestock covers 45% of the Earth's total land. Animal agriculture is the leading cause of species extinction, ocean dead zones, water pollution, and habitat destruction. Livestock operations on land have created more than 500 nitrogen-flooded dead zones around the world in our oceans. A third of the planet is desertified, with livestock as the leading driver. Every minute, 7 million pounds of excrement are produced by animals raised for food in the U.S. Scientists estimate as many as 650,000 whales, dolphins, and seals are killed every year by fishing vessels. For every 1 pound of fish caught, up to 5 pounds of unintended marine species are caught and discarded as bykill. We could see fishless oceans by 2048. Animal agriculture is responsible for up to 91% of Amazon destruction.
And exactly, with the oceans being destroyed, that's exactly what I want to talk about next. You spoke of habitat destruction and ocean dead zones, and that could be coming very soon. I watched a film yesterday, I believe it was. It's called Sea of Shadows, and it's making its Canadian premiere today at the Vancouver Film Festival at 3:30 p.m. at SFU Downtown. And this is an incredibly done film by a well-known filmmaker, Richard Ledcany, and it's an important documentary of our time that I really wish for everyone to be able to view. And what it is, it's a documentary that takes an investigative journalist who is from Mexico on his journey to investigate and find out what's happening with the destruction of the ocean life in the Sea of Cortez in Mexico. Thousands of illegal fishing nets in that sea create walls of death to catch toataba fish. So a toataba fish you might not have heard of before. And this is a fairly large fish, and the reason that they are poached, they're not allowed to be caught, is because the swim bladder is worth a lot of money to the Chinese, well, I guess it's a drug cartel, but it's to the country of China. This swim bladder is called the cocaine of the sea, and you know, this is all being done in nefarious and illegal ways. And it's believed to have special medicinal powers in China, although its healing effects have never been proven. And these swim bladders will be sold by local fishermen. There's 500 fishermen who are out in the Sea of Cortez every day. Some are, you know, legitimately fishing, and others are just trying to find these totaba fish. And what they'll do is when they find the fish, they'll split the fish open, pull out the swim bladder, roll it up, and they can get up to $5,000 per one of these. And so when it makes its way to China, they can sell as high as $75,000 or $100,000, and that's per swim bladder. We've seen this before with shark poaching, for example, with shark fins. And it's a completely unsustainable and destructive way to manage the planet. And it's because of this film that was made that we have our eyes open to this. And Jen, you just reminded me that a couple of years ago, we had did an interview on the Vaquita Porpoise, right?
So Roy Sassano, a local activist who actually worked on a sea shepherd ship.
Right. Yes. So he would have been on this ship. So because all of these nets are catching a whole bunch of other stuff, not just the totaba fish, they are also catching the extremely endangered Vaquita Porpoise, which is known as the smallest whale in the world. And they live in this little area. And get this, as of the time of this film was made, there's only 30 left.
Yeah.
So they're almost going to become extinct. But, you know, there is some light shining there, because right now, or at the time of this filming, it's presently happening right now, they have researchers and scientists there who decided that we are in a state of emergency. So what we're going to do is physically remove all the Vaquita Porpoise to a sea pen, and hopefully to a sanctuary until they can become repopulated. Mm-hmm. So it was a really interesting movie. I really recommend that people watch this. Once again, it's debuting today at the Vancouver Film Festival, and also October 3rd at 8:45 p.m. both at SFU downtown. You can buy tickets and learn more about the festival at viff.org.
And if you want to check out the interview we did a few years ago, animalvoices.org, and search Roy Sassano.
Yeah.
So today we are speaking with my friend Daryl Bisgrove. Welcome to the show, Daryl. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
And we're talking about the fact that you just saw the Game Changers movie, which I'm really excited to talk to you about, because you did message me afterwards and let me know what an impact it had and how grateful you were for watching it. And I think you even mentioned to me that you cried in the film when they talked about the impact of animal agriculture on the planet. And so for those who haven't seen the Game Changers film, can you tell us how you describe that to people in your life?
You know, I'm already a feeling type person, so I'm aware of atrocities that happen, but I wasn't expecting to feel as much as I did watching this film. I didn't even really know what it was about, to be honest with you, when you first gave me the ticket for it. But I you know, it was really kind of a whole bunch of different aspects of the film piling up and providing the information of seeing what is really happening on this massive scale of propaganda, really. And just the visuals of seeing these massive tracts of land being designated for the slaughter of animals in this very brutal, these very brutal conditions. That and the sort of the early 1900s, how meat was sort of came into vogue, and the whole sort of machinery about promoting that, and just seeing how we weren't really designed to be eating meat. And, you know, the science behind that. And just the brevity of all of those different factors of seeing this body of information hit me. You know, I just felt like I felt all of my heart open and feel this pain. The pain of the animals, the pain for all of us, the pain for the earth. Like, just this unnecessary suffering. That's what I felt. And just the brevity of that and its impact on the planet, on
Yeah. Yeah, you said it right. Exactly. It was, I was glad they put that part in the film, and I didn't think they would, because the film really does focus mostly on professional athletes and their transition to plant-based lifestyles and how that has impacted their performance in such a positive way. But yeah, putting that in it as well is just giving people one more reason to make that switch, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's for our health, number one. I'm not going to say number one is the number one, but importantly, our health, absolutely. And just as equally, hey, the suffering has to end, you know. The suffering we caused the animals is, obviously, it's affecting us all on so many different levels. So, to me, it's suffering all across the board. And I think it's really important to feel that, to really feel the weight of what we're doing. And I'm not here to bash humans. It's not what I'm about. I'm just here to really feel the responsibility of what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to authentically feel that. No judgment in it. I'm not here to judge anyone. Just simply, let's just feel the ramifications of what's happening here.
And so, going into that film, who were you before? It was a life-changing film for you. Were you vegetarian? Were you a meat eater?
I really refrained from eating a lot of meat. I mean, I still would here and there, obviously have the odd steak, and some chicken, probably mostly just chicken, and usually a lot of, or more fish anyways, but I just recently moved here a couple months ago back to the coast, and you know, I've really been watching myself with what I eat. I haven't eaten hardly any, I don't think, red meat here, but I think going into this, yeah, I always had a little bit of that consciousness that some meat is okay, and I've always kind of kept that with me. And post watching the Game Changers, I was shocked at how I felt this kind of brevity to it, and not only for my health, but just for everything involved, for life itself, just the importance of really wanting to just make a difference for my own health and just for us all. So I really felt that immediate sort of weight. It was very profound, actually.
That's awesome. I sensed that you were someone who was quite spiritual and really open to being shown something new and possibly transforming from it. And I'm really grateful that you were. And it just really just makes me so happy. Thank you so much for really focusing during that film and taking it all in and seeing how you can make changes in your life.
Yeah, I believe it's really important to keep, you know, really keep your heart open in a world that's sending so many messages for us to stay afraid and to stay in a negative sort of state of mind. And I don't believe that that's going to help anyone, and especially yourself. So I take the low road, where I'll do the dirty work. I'll work through the stuff that's bothering me so that I can get past whatever is bothering me, so I can get to the truth. And so I've always maintained a really open quest for truth. And I think it's really important to keep your heart and spirit open, because we really need to, actually, on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite vital. So, yeah.
Is there any way that you think your future could be getting involved in animal rights activism or environmental activism from this film?
You know, that's a good question. I would say the possibility is there, because as I grow in my awareness for standing up for truth, that translates into the animal kingdom as well.
Yeah.
So I could actually potentially see that. And just as, you know, I'm becoming more aware of these real world, you know, ramifications of eating animal protein diets and that kind of fallout, I think as we gain more awareness in who we are and what we're up to, we're kind of bound to be sort of pushed into that place in a good way, I mean, in the best sense of the word, really pushed into that area to really speak up and vocalize, like, hey, enough is enough. Yeah. This has got to stop. So,
great. Yeah. I'm glad to have you on board. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity, for giving me this space too as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll be in touch some more, I hope. I would love to invite you to some of our animal rights campaigns, and you can kind of feel it out and see what form of activism resonates with you. And yeah, you seem like a peaceful warrior type, so maybe I'll try to invite you to a few more of those. Dinner parties and fun things like that.
I'd love to be a part of that.
Fantastic. Okay, and I hope to have you on the show again as an activist next time.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Daryl. Have a great night.
Thank you. You
okay,
too.
Bye.
Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio, broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
Today I'm speaking with a guest that we've had on the show before, Marnie Jill Ugar. She is a Toronto activist, and she has had quite a breakthrough with a local restaurant owner. And so, Marnie, I want to talk to you today, first of all, about why you and your group selected the restaurant Bacon Nation as the target of your protest this summer.
Okay, well, we selected Bacon Nation because we typically do neighborhood restaurants, and Bacon Nation isn't far from where I live, and they got my attention just because of how they mock pigs, saying things like go pig or go home on their trucks, and so they have a location in Kensington Market in Toronto with the patio. Summer was perfect for that, but they also have trucks where they serve bacon.
And you and your fellow activist, Igor, actually managed to arrange a sit-down meeting with the restaurant owner and his mother after several protests. His mother works there part-time. Tell me how that came about, that you were able to arrange a meeting, and then how did the meeting go?
So we arranged a meeting because his mom happened... I didn't actually know it was his mother at the time, but she happened to be outside, and... I thought it was either a staff member or his mom, and I said, look, why don't we just sit down and talk? Can you just ask Andrew at this point if he wants to sit down and talk to us and maybe come up with a resolution?
And so you managed to have that sit-down meeting, I'm assuming, several days later?
So no, it was on the spot. I told my fellow activists to wait outside, and Igor and I would go in. That way there were two of us, and it was Andrew, and as it turned out, it is his mother, so two of them, two of us. That seemed fair, and we sat down at a table inside the restaurant. We just walked in, she brought us in, and we sat down to talk.
And how did that go initially? Was there tension and arguing to begin with, or?
Well, surprisingly, we were all smiling. I mean, we just all, I made it clear that we're not here to fight. We're here to actually come to some sort of resolution, to come to an agreement where if he budges, we go away. In other words, if he's willing to make changes, we'll go away, because our protests, as Andrew knew, were legal. So we could have just stayed there, and this was an opportunity to get him to have us, you know, go away. No restaurant actually likes a bunch of activists outside of their establishment protesting.
Yeah. Is there any more that you can tell us about the discussion that you had that day?
Sure. So we decided that we wanted Andrew to add vegan dishes, which he agreed to, and he's adding a vegan burger. He's adding the Beyond Bacon when the product comes out. I'm letting him know as soon as it does. And I asked him to please come with me to bear witness to the pigs at the slaughterhouse, since he serves primarily bacon at his restaurant.
So for our listeners that don't know about this slaughterhouse witnessing, this is part of the SAVE movement, and you and your activist friends give water to the pigs through the holes in the trucks as a final act of mercy and kindness, and you pet them before they're sent to the most horrible moment of their lives, which have already been horrible from birth until that moment, right?
That's exactly it. Bearing witness is, you know, it's great for vegans to do and activists to do, because we can show mercy to them, as you said, but also shed some light on their dark journey. I mean, they've never been exposed unless we expose them, so we can document them and post on social media and allow for other people to see. But it's especially profound if a non-vegan, and especially if a restaurant owner, is able to see this and connect.
That, yeah, I can't even believe you were able to get the restaurant owner of Bacon Nation to go and pet and give water to pigs that are about to be slaughtered. And I can't imagine that anybody in that situation would be able to maintain that front of, I don't care about animals, bacon is delicious, bacon is life. So tell me more about that. I'm really fascinated about how he was at that vigil.
Sure. So what amazed all of us there was that is the first time that he's ever met a pig. I mean, think about that. This man serves dead pigs at his restaurant, and he had never in his life met a pig, and he was really struck by how these pigs looked at him and connected to him and put their noses out to sniff his hand, and he said to me, they remind me so much of my dog, and I hadn't realized. They're not things, they're beings. He got that, and he reached in to stroke them, and as you said, give them water. I mean, from my perspective, he went above and beyond, because I have had another restaurant owner come to a vigil. In that case, it was a chicken vigil, and he really didn't seem to connect the same way as Andrew did. So it was very powerful.
You know, I agree. They are like dogs, and what a strange moment for him to be petting pigs who are innocent and have no ill will toward him, because they have no idea what he does, that he serves up the bodies of their brethren at a restaurant called Bacon Nation. And I'm hoping that in that moment he saw how innocent animals are.
I think he really did get it. He said, I mean, we'll see if it happens, but he did say that he was willing to bring his mom and his fiance to a farm sanctuary to see the other side with pigs. And he did admit, being in Kensington Market, a really progressive area in Toronto, that he could fully transition. I mean, I was blown away by that, but he's open to that. And he said that having vegan bacon, that's a first step, you know, see how it does, introduce it to people. And he admitted that the impact on the environment, not just the animals, there's another reason. So he's open to all of that.
And you weren't sensing that he was saying any of this to get you guys off his back?
Absolutely not, because he knows that I'll be staying in touch with him. And he really, you know, I can tell when restaurant owners are faking it. I've dealt with some, and I just know. And Andrew seemed really sincere, and I wasn't the only one there who felt that way. I know on social media some people say, well, let's see if it happens. But for all those that were there, they really saw his sincerity.
Did he have tears in his eyes when the moment came for that truck to move on to the next stage for those pigs?
He didn't, but many activists don't. And he was honest enough to say, I have to absorb this. And I find this happens when I bear witness, too. In the moment, you're in shock, and it's a lot to take in. But you often will cry the next day or even 2 days later. That's not uncommon.
No, I believe you. I mean, I saw the Earthlings documentary 6 years ago, and there isn't an hour of the day that goes by that I don't have those images in my head. And the reminders.
Exactly. They stick with you. Yeah.
There's reminders when I see ads for burgers and bacon, and yeah, he's going to be triggered by all that. The world will be different now for him.
I believe so.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough. I cried when I saw the photo that you posted on social media of him petting and giving water to those pigs, and I'm just blown away that you even thought to try this. Thank you so much. I wouldn't have tried. I would have thought a guy that names his restaurant Bacon Nation doesn't care. There's no way.
Well, anything is possible, and you know, protest is interesting. People criticize it, but the point of protest, I've said it many times, is to change social norms, to get people out of their comfort zones. Apathy is never the solution. So for people who think that we're targeting a restaurant, Andrew actually said he understood from the start what we were doing. And he said, I don't see myself as your victim. I get that the animals are the true victims. And this is coming from a restaurant owner.
That's amazing. I love you. And now, what's the plan? Are you doing this with another restaurant now? You're obviously moving on from his because of the deal he made.
We will be. We're looking for a restaurant now, and stay tuned. Within the next couple of weeks, you'll be seeing us at a restaurant near the beginning of October.
Okay, I don't know if you can give away your inside secrets, but I'm curious to know how this works. How do you go about selecting the next restaurant?
Well, you know, we just look for places that are especially offensive to animals, like Andrew was, by saying things like go pig or go home. And in the past, as you know, we've also targeted ethical butchers, well, not ethical butchers that claim to be ethical, so we usually look for some sort of angle.
Yeah, and that's definitely the buzzword these days, is ethical meat, right?
Exactly. Okay. So we try to raise awareness in many different ways.
Well, thank you so much for all that you're doing. You're a dear friend, and I hope to have you on again with another success story.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay, thanks, Marnie. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
I'm really proud of Marnie and her activist group for the relentless activism in the Toronto area. They truly dedicate their lives to changing the world on a daily basis, and they fill up my news feed with everything that they're up to. And I don't even think they have lives outside of their jobs and their activism. I just love it.
That is their life.
Yeah. And Allison, you were saying during that interview that you also cried when you saw that photo.
I sure did. We were looking at the same thing, I just had tears. It was so touching.
You can see that at animalvoices.org.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah. So animalvoices.org, you can see that photo, or also on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. And we were lucky to be able to reach out to the owner of Bacon Nation Restaurant. A local activist, Michael Cawson, conducted the interview. Let's hear that now.
What made you decide to go to a slaughterhouse to attend a vigil for pigs?
So like I was saying, I mean, I had the chance to meet Marnie over the summer. They were having a protest outside one of my restaurants here. And, after the initial event, we actually got to sit down and just message they were trying to convey and what they were fighting for. And, I mean, I always thought it was something important. I just didn't know maybe how to go about it or reach out into it. So Marnie asked me to come out to one of the vigils, and I thought it'd be a great chance, you know, see the other side of what they're fighting for and the message they're trying to get across. So it was a really cool experience.
Mm-hmm. So did you feel any sort of connection to the pigs that you met? Or what, first of all, what happened when you were there? Did you get to see the pigs? Did you get to pet them or anything?
So when we got there, it was a very powerful experience. And, I mean, it's easy to relate, especially if anyone has pets or whatnot. I have a dog myself, and when you see the pigs, like, I got there a little bit around just after 10, and I got to see trucks drive in. So the first truck drove in, we got up close, got to see them, and you get to see that they move and interact just like your pet dog would. And that for me was probably the biggest connection of it all. And then after a couple of trucks, they asked me if I would give them water and see if I could comfort them out, whatnot, and I did. And it's funny enough, like, they interact and talk, connect with you just like your dog would, and that was probably the most moving part for me.
So based on that, do you believe that they have their own experiences that are more or less similar to ours? I mean, do you believe that they might see the world in more or less the same way that we do?
I believe they're daily lives just like anything else. They cultivate families, they go day to day, and they have all those feelings and emotions. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about the restaurant you mentioned. You...
Owner of Bacon Nation. So, I mean, it does garner a lot of attention with a name like that, and I think that's one of the reasons it was well protested at. But, I mean, we do... We are looking to do use and help the battle, not just necessarily with the animals, just with climate change and the whole thing that encompasses that.
Right, there's a lot of talk about the sustainability of meat.
Yeah. And that's the biggest part. I mean, like, people can dehumanize or desensitize themselves from the fact that pigs don't do this, don't do that, or whatever. But no one can argue the fact that if we don't do something soon, our climate's not going to be the same for much longer.
So have you already taken steps to either reduce the...
So I guess to give you a little more background, like, it's something we've been looking at for a long time. I've owned a vegan taco shop before. It didn't do well. Unfortunately, it went under. We do have quite a few booths down at the CNE. One of them is an all-vegan place. It, unfortunately, is the one that does the poorest out of all our 11 other booths there. But, I mean, we're big enough there that we keep it sustained. Like, we keep it running, even though it doesn't produce, it doesn't do well, it doesn't meet the bottom line, we still feed it because we believe it is important. And now, next week, we're delivering 3 vegan burgers, and then shortly after we gave you a showcase, we'll have them on the menu permanently, and from then on, we'll keep adding and building a portion of our menu to be vegan.
Wow, that's amazing to hear.
Yeah.
Have you changed your own diet at all? Have you stopped eating meat?
Before at all, like I said, like I've been very aware of the message and whatnot and what's going on in the world. So, like I said, like I've tried to develop restaurants that are more vegan or sustainable. So yeah, and I do from time to time. I make it a point not to do meat one or two. Couple times a week or what it is, not for every meal. Like, I do go out and actually try to do that.
How often do you think about the experience that you had with the pigs there?
I think it's still settling. It's still registering. I am following up as part of the experience. I'm going to a sanctuary next week. So just go follow up and kind of add level to what I kind of saw there the first time.
Wow. Well, I'm really glad to hear that. So, where is your restaurant located?
It's in Kensington Market.
All right.
And heart of Toronto.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, our listeners can't try it unless they visit you. But I'm sure a lot would be happy to when they do go there.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely welcome them, and we'll have something definitely on the menu for them, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Where do you see all of this going? Do you think there's a possibility that someday your restaurant could be entirely vegan?
I mean, if the trend continues, the way it has been going, I think being vegan has doubled more in the last 2 years than it has ever. So I think if it keeps going, that trend. I mean, unfortunately, the nature of the business is we still have to keep our doors open. Mm-hmm. So whatever the people want, we would deliver. But from what we've seen in the last 2 years, it keeps growing. So who knows what will happen in 5 years from now. Maybe that's the only thing we will be selling off our menu.
So here in Vancouver, there are several restaurants that are entirely vegan. Is that the case over there as well?
That are entirely vegan?
Yeah, that have no animal products.
Yeah, there's tons. Like, even in Kensington Market, the hot spot for vegan restaurants, there's another neighborhood, I think, just west of here that is, I think, labeled Vegandale, and it's just vegan restaurants. There's tons of successful vegan restaurants in the area.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it might not be, a completely new thing to have an entirely vegan restaurant? Do you think having other vegan restaurants there might make it more secure for your restaurant to make that change?
Sorry?
I mean, given that there are already vegan restaurants there,
right.
That shows that a market exists, at least for an entirely vegan place.
Yeah, no, it does exist. There's no denying that. There's definitely a market that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, it seems like you have seen... Well, everything that we've seen, I guess the thing I'm wondering, and this is something I'm honestly trying to work through myself, is what causes somebody to go vegan immediately when they see something like that? And I mean, I guess what I'd like to know is, what is holding you back? I mean, you mentioned the economics for your restaurant, but personally in your own life, what is holding you back from being completely vegan?
I guess the social circles, like, I guess I couldn't make it a point, but I mean, just, it takes probably just breaking daily habits and finding out more about where to go and where, like, yeah, it's easy to go to restaurants, but yeah, it's just not in my habit, it's just not in the routine yet.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, just, I think, as you make a point to do them, it becomes a habit, but I think that does take a little bit of time.
Yeah, it is a huge change. We think about, I've been there, we think about all of our favorite foods that have animal products in them and what we'd have to give up. But since you've started trying new vegan things, have you found, have you discovered things within that diet that you hadn't tried before?
I don't think I necessarily have something new. Like, I'll just cut, like, instead, like, if I have like a power bowl, like a Buddha bowl or whatever it is, I don't need to have the chicken on top of it. Just little things like that, mm-hmm. on a regular, that you can just cut out.
Okay. Well, I think we've gone over all the important stuff. It's really encouraging to hear somebody that has a bacon restaurant consider these things. I think seeing animals as living beings who have their own desires, who experience love, fear, and everything just like we do, that's obviously the first step, and it is a huge step. So
really, I mean, I can't be further on the other side of the spectrum, but I mean, you'd have to willingly, like, blindfold yourself not to see the impact or that this is having on not just the world, but on animals. Like, it's not, that's why I thought it was important to go out and see it firsthand. I mean, it's easy for people to say, oh, what it's like in their other shoes, but have people actually gone and done that? Probably not.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to kind of put myself in that position and showcase, like, we can't cover our eyes to it anymore. Like, climate change is happening, things are happening, and we gotta make a point to reduce it. I mean, even just reducing a few meals a week, that will go a hell of a long way.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, what I've found in doing outreach is that there really is no fun between someone who is vegan and someone who's not. We all have similar values, we all have respect for life, we have respect for the wishes of others, even whether they're animals or humans.
Yeah.
So I guess that this just confirms that. And
yeah.
I thank you. That's very encouraging.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I truly believe in the guys' message that you guys are pushing forward, and I look forward to helping what I do my part.
All right. Well, we'll see where it goes. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Bye.
A local activist had a Craigslist ad sent to her from a friend, and the ad read, "Free meat pig, but would like to send her to a home, not for food. Super friendly, she will be about 200 pounds, was in the movies, but has lost most of her training. We've decided to get a pot-bellied pig instead," and it has recently been discovered that these people plan to open a petting zoo. And so within a short amount of time, the activist who was sent this ad posted this to a Vancouver activist Facebook group asking for assistance. And for the next 5 hours, a bunch of us were scrambling to find a solution, which is a common thing for activists to have to do. It's stressful. It takes time out of our days. I was late for work today because of it. This is a very common thing where people put ads up on Craigslist for animals that are very likely going to be killed for meat if somebody doesn't intervene. And we're dealing with sanctuaries who have this issue daily, and they have to say no to animals knowing that they might be killed because they're taking in so many animals from these situations. And to top it off, they're often not given any donation money from the people relinquishing their animals to them to take care of them for the rest of their lives. Vet bills, housing, food, everything. And so today I'm speaking with an activist named Sam, who within 5 hours of hearing about this had the pig in her car. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Tell me how that happened. That's amazing. I'm so grateful.
It was very rash decision. I think I complicated things with other people trying to coordinate a rescue, but the way it sounded when I contacted the woman who owned this pig, that she was in a hurry to get rid of it because she was pulling out the fencing and having the housing of the pig pulled out and knocked over so that they could make room for their new project and installments. And that's what I ended up seeing when I arrived at her property.
And so how was it arranged that you would come and get the pig? Did you phone her or email her or what?
She had a phone number listed on her Craigslist ad, and I just called her and asked if the pig was still available, and she said, "Yep, she's still here. Want to come get her?" And I said, "That's all right if I can come today." And she's like, "Sure, sooner the better. We need to get everything arranged and set up pretty quick." So I told my roommate that I was going to go get a pig, and we drove down to Langley and chased her around to try to get her in the car. And that was a bit of an entertaining session, but that's where she is right now.
And so you were telling me that the owner was not even there. She just said, "Come to the property and take the pig."
That's right, yeah. She said at first that she was going to be there and meet us at the gate, and then later said, "I had to run out. Sorry, I'm not going to be there. Just come on through the gate yourself and pretty much help yourself to the pig. She's in the first pen."
She doesn't seem to treat this animal like a living being. You would think if you're giving up an animal that was something you considered a pet or someone you considered a pet, that you would want to be there and see who was taking the animal. Did she ask if you were going to be killing the pig for meat?
No, she didn't ask me anything. Later I found out that someone else had contacted her through Facebook or found her phone number and asked, "Okay, has somebody come for the pig?" And she said, "Yeah, somebody's coming for the pig." And then they asked her, an activist as well, if they're signing a form or anything to say that it's like a no-kill deal and if it's had a house check. And she said, "Oh, yeah, that's all been done." And I found out this after I had the pig already in my car, and none of that was done. Like, nobody was there to make sure that I was not going to be hurting the pig at all or taking it somewhere.
It's concerning that this person is now looking to get more animals when they just see them as a commodity, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to further animals on the site. Like, they did have some already there that weren't pigs, and I don't know if they're keeping all of them and if they're there for the petting zoo as well, or it's just this pig that they didn't want.
What did they have? What kind of animals?
They had a llama, several goats. They had a hutch with rabbits running around. I don't know if they were really breeding in the shed. And there were chickens as well.
Yeah. So you lived in downtown Vancouver, and your landlord is a vegetarian, so you were hoping that he would be cool with you having a pig in your apartment, but the pig was much bigger than expected, 45 pounds, you're thinking?
Yeah, the lady told me that the pig was about 35 pounds, and then I went there, and I was like, "I don't know, this pig looks a little heavy or muscly to be 35 pounds." And I tried to pick her up, and there's no way. She was pretty close to double that weight.
And so you kept her in the back of your car for the afternoon while everybody tried to find a permanent home, and you ended up finding one, and you're on their way. You're in the ferry lineup right now with the pig in your car.
I am, yeah. I'm on my way to Roberts Creek. Dropping her off up to the Sunshine Coast of Langdale. I've never been up there, but the kitchen sink rescue is going to be taking her in.
Okay, so if our listeners want to donate to help this pig, the kitchen sink rescue.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing. You actually brought tears to my eyes today. I really didn't think this was going to end well for the pig, or that it would at least have to spend way too long in your vehicle. So,
yeah.
Can't thank you enough.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, good luck with the road trip, and I hope you don't get any pig poop in your car tonight.
Oh, that's already happened. It's okay. I'll be a little bit later.
Okay, safe travels. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
What a show. What did you think, Allison?
I love the pig story. I cried about that as well. That was like two things came at once, I think, that I cried about this week with regards to pigs on Facebook. And there was one other thing as well about pigs needing homes in the States. And I tried to get some help on that, but it's very hard to bring them over the border.
I didn't hear about that one. What happened there?
Yeah, there's an issue, I think, in Oregon where a lot of pigs have been surrendered in some kind of situation. And they're trying to find, there were 400 pigs, I believe, or 300, and 200 of them were found a home at a sanctuary in the States, but 100 of them were rehomed, and they still need to rehome 100 more, because that was just temporary. So basically, as you're seeing from this theme of the show, like, this is common. Yeah. Animals are abandoned a lot.
Yeah, it's really hard for a sanctuary owner to have to say no, knowing that means the animal will die, but they just don't have the money or the resources to take them in. So you've been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM, CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our show next Friday. Allison, what are you talking about?
So next week's show, it's going to be a surprise. We are arranging to have a special guest inside the studio with us, so look out for a live Facebook video as well, which should be exciting. Stay tuned. I'll be posting updates on it on our Facebook next week.
Okay, Animal Voices Vancouver on Facebook. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Animalvoices.org is where you can stream shows and download the shows as podcasts, read our show blog with detailed links, and subscribe via iTunes, and stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and Instagram, Animal Voices Vancouver as well. And we leave you with the song, The Times They Are Changing by the Brothers and the Sisters. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith, a great show on environmentalism. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals. Yeah.